Yep, yep. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
Dude, crazy fucking game.
One of the craziest regular season games in all of my football memory.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't record this podcast right after the game because I was hoarse as a motherfucker. I was screaming at the TV, get the fuck out of here. The worst call that I had watching the game was when Martavis Bryant scored that touchdown, the one-handed catch against Gilmore. Yeah. And I'm like, he's clearly stiff-arming him.
Yeah,
and then they play the replay. Gilmore's holding his hand the whole way.
Yeah. It was a little bit of both.
Still, I was screaming. And then as soon as I saw, I was like, shit. So wrong about that.
Yeah. Overall, that game. Yeah, the game was just pretty insane.
Well, you got to start at the end, right?
Yes, do you want to start at the end? Yeah, we can start
obviously
at the end.
Dude,
like, well, right, I wanted to start that this was the most hyped game of the year, and it definitely lived up to the hype.
Yeah, because the referees made so. They made sure of it.
It was a damn good game before that. I mean, it worked out for us in the end, but it was definitely lived up to the hype before that call.
Yeah,
I'm
just
saying
with you.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah,
but yeah.
It was completely hyped up, and everybody was... Even all the announcers said that, we circled this thing in April when the schedule came out. And I know I did. Thought about going to this game and rematch the AFC Championship game last year. And usually you'll get one of those teams will have a down season the next year. Nope. Both of them just as good, if not better. The Steelers are probably better this year than they were last year.
They are.
And I think that played out in the game. I think they were the better team, the Steelers.
Once they lost Antonio, they weren't.
I think they were still the better team.
You think so?
We had no answer for Le'Veon Bell whatsoever. It wasn't until we realized that we had to go to Gronkowski that our offense started moving. Outside of that, it wasn't doing shit.
Well,
we're getting beat by Juju Smith-Schuster. Martavis Bryant was making plays. I mean, we just didn't have answers for that.
Yeah, the defense really... I mean, they only let up 24 points. It could have easily been 31, but
yeah.
24 points, which isn't terrible. But for me, it was the whole first half. McDaniels, I thought, called a terrible game. It was to the point where Brady and Tony Romo was the one that alluded to this. That he goes, "Now, Tom Brady's making the calls."
Oh, really?
Tom Brady's making. And it was for the last two drives the last few drives we scored on.
Of the
Brady
first
was
half?
Making the of the second half.
This oh,
is
the
after
second
the
half.
second half, late in the third quarter when we started scoring. It was because Brady was making the calls, and it was almost pretty hilarious because you're watching him, and he was just calling streaks.
Oh, yeah,
on a lot of those plays, which was hilarious. He's just like, run straight, everybody. And you were like, why does he keep calling this? And then it kept working.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. And it's clearly, credit to the coaches for saying, yeah, we're doing a shitty job. Hey, Tom, just call whatever you see. And that's what he did because they kept – you got to give them a lot of credit on defense. Not so much talent, but just play calling. They were doing a lot of shifting between man and zone and really disguising it really well.
I didn't see that. I saw them playing mostly, almost entirely man.
It was mostly man.
Almost always man.
They were throwing some zone in there.
They had a few nice blitzes, a couple nice stunts. I think they took advantage of Joe Tooney, tried to get him in one-on-one pass-blocking matchups against some of their interior guys. I think defensively, the Steelers played great. I really think they played great outside of the inexcusable failure to not double Gronkowski. You're sitting there, they played a ton of man cover one with like a middle linebacker in the middle of the field. And that guy was a problem. That short middle guy.
Yeah.
James White basically didn't show up in the game because that middle guy was blocking everything. They would have the man guy try to force James White to choose on his option route to go in the middle. And then there was this big dude right there who's going to hit him and interrupt the pass. And that's how Brady threw the interception on the third down was James White was coming out of the backfield against a linebacker. And you think, oh, James White, third and three option route. That's a no brainer. And Brady thought the same thing until James White went inside. They had a guy sitting there and then Brady panics and throws a pick.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say about doubling Gronkowski is they had a safety in the center of the field who for some unknown reason was paying attention to everyone instead of only Gronkowski. You got Gronk in the slot.
It's you pick your poison though at that point.
No, it isn't. Because not the way that game was playing out.
Well, not the way the game was playing out, but if they doubled Gronk, I
should've
guarantee you Cooks would have got over the top every single play.
We would have had to adjust. But for essentially the entire second half, the only thing our offense was doing was throwing it to Gronkowski.
Right, because
they didn't change. No, they never changed.
Yeah, they should have changed.
They had to change at least sometimes. Right. Maybe you don't double them on every single play.
I'll give you that. No, they were just letting them run free. It was a joke.
Yeah, and Brady's like, are you kidding me? This is still happening? Gronkowski's like, he's turning into a cheerleader on the field. He was like bubbling up with enthusiasm. Like he was uncontainable. Yeah. I can't believe that they're fucking up this bad for a team that performed so well defensively and had a really good scheme to have that one crucial flaw. I feel like that's inexcusable.
I'm saying what I think is, and that might have been what the coaches knew, if they covered Gronkowski how they wanted to, everything else would have been wide open.
Maybe, but I take the view that if you have a single high safety and Gronkowski's in the slot, instead of having that safety cover everybody, have him only focused on Gronkowski and force us to throw the ball deep outside the numbers. That's a harder play.
Yeah.
It's a harder play than Gronkowski against a safety. And Brady's been playing with them for 8 seasons. They're so in sync.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more difficult play to try to throw it up deep to Cooks or Dorsett or whoever else you're going to do that to. So, but outside of that, I think the Steelers defense played really well.
Yeah. I mean, they still had up 27, but yeah, we couldn't get anything going. The first half was like a joke. There's the combination of Steelers calling a great D and Josh McDaniels having zero answers for it.
Yeah, we had.
And Brady seems like something's bothering him a little bit, and his throws aren't as tight as they were a couple weeks ago. That Achilles injury might be more affecting him more than anybody's alluding to.
Definitely possible. It's also how uncomfortable he is in the pocket most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been hit more in the last 2 weeks than like the previous 5 combined or something like that. The last 2 weeks, yeah, against Miami and Pittsburgh, who you wouldn't. They're not terrible fronts, but you wouldn't expect them to be dominant
when they want.
Say that again?
I mean, if Miami was a good team, everyone would be talking about that front four.
Yeah.
But the rest of their team sucks, so they kind of get buried. Pittsburgh, different story. They're a little above average.
Yeah, that fits. But yeah, I think a lot of that discomfort brings about inaccuracy and poor decision-making, and that's been... That goes for every quarterback, but that's been the only way to disrupt Brady over the course of the last 10 years.
I mean, we couldn't stop Big Ben for the life of us, but
on third downs, the last 2 weeks, that's been the thing. Well, I guess against the Dolphins, they actually didn't convert that many third downs, but this week it was like we can't stop Le'Veon, and then when they find themselves on a third down play, they went 10 of 13 to start the game on third downs.
Shit that Antonio hurt his fucking leg.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the most under-talked about things about this game is that they were missing maybe their best player.
Part of me wants to say, you know, it's almost like when he came out of the game, you know, they were scoring pretty well with him, but it didn't seem like we couldn't keep up with them. But after he went out and I was like, oh, Antonio Brown's out. Now everything should be fine. It's almost like it fucked them up just as much because they're like, oh, no, what do we do? Now we don't know what to do. And it's like they kept just driving. It's like, no, their best player's out. You should be doing better against them. And we just weren't. Somehow we gave up 0 points in the fourth quarter. And that's all because of the last play. I mean, we keep alluding. We should talk about it, right? The last play.
Yeah, we should talk about it. But also in the fourth quarter, they got the ball at their 2-yard line. Remember, they had that 7-minute drive and it only made to like their 35. There was that drive. There was a 3-and-out when we had to have it. At the very end, and then the final drive. So the final drive, the Juju Smith-Schuster play was infuriating.
I think Jordan Richards should be cut.
Probably, right? I don't know what he brings.
He last week against Miami, he missed a huge sack on a third down, and which ended up being going to a touchdown or a second down or whatever it was, and then it ended up being a touchdown on the next the play after that. So that was one mistake. And then this mistake, when Juju Smith-Schuster breaks out somehow. So for everybody, obviously, you know, Brady puts together a masterful 70-second drive with 2 minutes left, or 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, a couple timeouts, drives right down the field, pretty much only exclusively to Gronk, does what he needs to do, gets a touchdown, Now we're up by three. Or we have to get an extra two-point conversion. We get that. We're up by three. Everything's great. There's 55 seconds left on the clock. Patriots, as Patriots fans, we're all excited. We're like, yes, they're not going to get a touchdown in 55 seconds. They might get in field goal range, but there's no way they get a touchdown. They can't win. This is great. They only got one timeout. First play, tiny little, what the hell's that thing called? A little
just
hitch.
Crossers. It was a rough route in the middle of the field.
And there was nobody there. Juju Smith-Schuster takes it for, 60 yards?
Yeah, at least.
So takes it basically down to the 9 or something, or 10.
Yeah.
And if you're watching on the sideline, you see someone like Devin McCourty or something standing there waiting to go, and then a Jordan Richards is coming in at a terrible angle and knocks that defender away and completely misses the tackle.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame that play on Eric Rowe.
Jordan Richards' fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Rowe is sitting there waiting for him. I mean, you're not supposed to. They like you to pursue, but in a situation like that, he's on the sideline. It's like, all right, I'm just going to push the guy out of the fucking sideline.
Oh, no. Rowe was in coverage. He was in man-to-man coverage.
Right. Okay,
so he got kind of rubbed off the route a little bit. I do not think it was PI. And so he was trailing Juju, and then he came up, and there were the two defenders, and you mentioned what Jordan Richards did. And that's really the part of the play that blew it up.
Yeah, it's like, that would have been a 20-yard gain. That's manageable.
And Juju scores if he doesn't run out of gas.
Yeah.
He just couldn't run anymore after inside the 20-yard line.
he didn't expect to go that far.
Antonio Brown takes that to the house every time. Antonio Brown doesn't get tired right there. He finishes.
It was pretty much Juju's game once Antonio Brown went out. He had 6 receptions for 114, but, I mean, that was pretty much because of that 70-yard.
That was the big one.
Toss.
So then now we're sitting here, lost all momentum. You're like, I can't believe this is the case. Just keep them out of the end zone, force them to a field goal, which, by the way, comes back to the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, if they didn't get that, see you later.
They didn't get the 2-point conversion, you're down 1 point in field goal range. It's over. You just kick the field goal and see you never.
Right.
So the 2-point conversion to Gronkowski was massive. And then they're sitting there, first and goal, and it's like right away it's a touchdown. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah,
just like that.
Nobody just covered the tight end.
It was. I liked the route combination that they did because they ran. I think Smith-Schuster right above him. They ran Smith-Schuster like a yard deep in the end zone to hitch, and then they did Jesse James at like the 2-yard line for a hitch. So it's like Juju took the zone coverage man that was right there, and Jesse James curled up right in front of him.
Right.
So I thought it was a good design. I think McCourty was to his right, so he got kind of taken out of the play a little bit. But, I mean, clearly he caught it, right? Is there anyone saying he didn't? Like, that was a catch. By the rule, it's not.
By the rule, it's not a catch.
By the rule, it's not a catch.
What we assumed to be a catch, I thought it was a catch. I didn't think they were going to overturn it. I was like, you know, it's a catch.
It's outrageous.
And then it's taking forever for them to come up with a decision. It's like, well, what are they talking about? And I think who's the guy with Romo? Is it Ian Eagle?
No, it's Jim Nance.
Jim Nance. I'm sorry, I don't know why I thought it was. So Nance goes.
I like that you said Ian though. Good for you.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Well, he always says Ian. So
he does. Don't call me Ian.
So he, you know, Nance is going, what's going on? What's taking so long? He goes, oh, did the ball come out? And then Romo goes, oh boy, that could go either way. The ball could have came out. So, you know, we, as Patriots fans, really haven't been too much on the other side of this, and I feel like it's because Belichick might coach that, you know, almost like don't dive for anything unless you know you have the ball and are running with it type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you're sitting there and you're listening to this guy, Jesse James, after the game, and he's talking. He goes, well, I thought it was a catch. It's supposed to be a catch. And it's like, no, you know, by the rule, that's not a catch. So maybe if the rule's a little better, you wouldn't be bitching about this, and you would have just fucking gone down or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks that that's how they lost, but...
Well, they had another chance, too.
They did have another chance. It wasn't like that was the end.
That wasn't the total end of the game. Now it's second and goal from the 10-yard line. You're down 3.
Right.
You're still okay. But yeah, it passes the eye test. He catches it. He gets 2 feet. He gets a knee. He turned around. He reached the ball out. I mean, football moves galore. However you want to say it, the fact that the ball crosses the plane before he loses control of it makes you think as a football fan that play is now over because he, you know, he's in the end zone. But I guess as part of completing the catch, he went to the ground, the movement. Yeah, by the rule.
By the rule, it's the right call.
It's the right call. It just, it stinks. And, you know, I was listening to somebody talk about this, and they go, you know what people never complain about? They're never like, oh, man, that definitely wasn't a catch, and they called it a catch. Those things get forgotten about.
Right.
Like, remember Brandon Cooks in week 3 against the Texans? It was, like, really shady camera angles. His body was in the way, but it looked like the ball moved when he hit the ground. I couldn't totally tell, but they called it a catch, and nobody cares. There's no... The Brandon Cooks play, there's the Calvin Johnson play, the Dez play, this one.
You know, I was thinking about how, you know, if this was a Patriots, blah, blah, and we were on the other side of it, what I would think. But the way I can justify is, you remember before they came up with this rule?
No, remember that? I don't know.
Before they came up with this rule, it was just whatever. It was like, we're going to say it's a catch or we're not going to say it's a catch. And it's kind of just based on whatever we feel it is.
Oh, I thought it was like the move common to the game or a football move. I thought that was the standard.
Everyone's like, what's a football move? Is it two steps? Is it one step? Is it a lunge forward? Is it not a lunge forward? And it was all more debates. And then before that, it was kind of just like a free for all, whatever the refs thought. So it's like the way they've come about this rule is because there were so many goddamn, you know, what the hell is a catch type thing? So many games were turned because of that to a point where they said, okay, this is exactly what you have to do to make a catch. And if the ball moves when you hit the ground, no catch. So it's like, would you rather something set in stone, fine lined, here it is, but you know, it might turn over some of the things that we would assume is a catch, or would you rather just, nah.
Just mayhem.
Whatever. So that's where I'm at. Like, well, you know, I'd rather at least be clean cut so people can practice these things versus, you know, oh, like, yeah, the ball moved at the end. No. But you know, it did look like a catch. So whatever.
Yeah, that's what Belichick was saying, was that he'd be open to a better idea. But he's saying as of now, the rule is pretty clear, at least for end zone plays. It is.
Right.
And he thinks that, you know, he's open to something being better, but he understands it at least at this point. And that's then they ask him, like, do you coach around this? Do you coach people to not do certain things? And he goes, oh, we talk about it. We talk about all situations, and that's it. Wasn't like, yes, we do coach that. Yes, we do have a rule, as many former Patriots have said, that they are not allowed to reach the ball out unless it's fourth down or it's a game deciding play.
So,
because we can all remember Tom Brady jumping over the pile against the Ravens on a QB sneak in the playoffs or something. Mm-hmm. Like fourth down plays, they will do it. But other than that, it doesn't happen that often. We saw it afterwards, the Derek Carr fumble through the back of the end zone in the Sunday night game.
Oh, I missed that. What happened?
Oh, yeah. He was diving for the pylon either to tie it up or to take the lead at the very end, like less than a minute to go. And he dove from like the 5-yard line, got the ball knocked out of his hand at the one, and it rolled through the end zone.
Touchback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a play that I can't remember in my head a Patriot player making a play like that. Not even one that ends up in a turnover, but exposing the ball to a possible turnover.
The only times it's happened is Danny Amendola, and it's when he knows he's going out of bounds.
Oh yeah, it's Amendola, like, does do that. You're right.
But he's very caught. He only does it when he's like going out of bounds.
Yeah.
So if the ball gets knocked out, you know, I don't know.
It's going to continue out of bounds and it won't go in bounds
or something. Yeah. So it's like very rare he does it, but he does do it occasionally.
Yeah.
So after that, so they do that. Everyone's freaking out. No one wants to think. They get the ball back at the 9 or whatever. Then did they get a penalty?
No, they had a completion.
They had a completion of like 4 or 5.
Yeah, and Malcolm Butler makes a heady play and a good physical play to take the guy down in bounds. So now the clock's running, and you almost have Super Bowl 49 coming back, where Belichick has timeouts, but he's like, no, 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 I see some chaos over there. Let's let it play out.
They don't know what's going on, and they didn't. So they run up to the line. Ben does like some kind of fake spike and tries to throw it to the receiver over to the right, who ends up being triple coverage. He throws it into that, picked off, game over.
Well, batted up, then picked off.
And the funniest thing is on those plays, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm going, I didn't even notice that he did the fake spike in real time. Like when it happened, I was like, what is he fucking doing? It didn't look like a fake spike to me. And then I'm looking at the rest of the guys. Nobody else on the offense was running. Nobody was doing anything.
Yeah, it was a one-person route. There was like one or two guys blocking up front. There was only one guy rushing the passer.
Yeah.
That was it. And then it was just Eric Rowe versus Eli Rogers and even Devin McCourty standing still.
Well, Harmon was right there.
Harmon was on the opposite side. But, yeah. I mean, Eli Rogers ran a slant right in front of Devin McCourty, and McCourty didn't move. He wasn't hands on hips, but he didn't follow him.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he had coverage on the tight end or whatever, and he had to stay with his man. But it was a bizarre play to see. It was like 3-4 people moving and no one else's.
Yeah, no one else. I was like, why aren't there receivers running? What do you think's going on? And then someone was like, it might have been Red or somebody was like, this is one of our other friends. I'm sorry, just refer to Red as the audience knows
him. It's a mythical character.
It is a mythical character. He says, oh, no, they're not supposed to run a route. And I go, well, if it's fucking, you see, the guy that's running the route is triple covered, wouldn't you start moving around?
Some of the other guys?
Yeah. I mean, this is the play we're running. Oh, let me actually sneak off here just in case.
Yeah, especially since there was no pass rush. And
yeah, there was
Ben
nothing
could have
going
held
on
the ball continuously.
Yeah.
And how about, dude, you're a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Throw the ball away? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe throw the ball away.
Don't force that in. You can tie it with a field goal.
I thought it was so funny after the game when immediately he's like, I didn't want to run that play. I didn't think that was a good play to run. It's like, dude, you fucked up the play. He gave you the opportunity
to throw a
touchdown pass to win the game if the guy's open. And guess what? If he's not open, throw it out the back of the end zone and kick the field goal.
Yeah. I heard there's been some turmoil between that play. If he called it or if he wanted to run it versus Tomlin wanting to run it, or if they wanted to take a timeout because they still
didn't have a timeout.
They didn't have a timeout?
They did not. After the Juju run, they spent their last timeout.
True.
So they didn't have the timeout option, but first of all, Ben doesn't want to run the play. Dude, you don't call the plays. That guy's calling the plays. He's your coach. Run the fucking play. And I can't get over that's always an option when you're inside the 10 yard line like that. Just throw it out the back of the end zone.
Yeah, as long as there's time.
It's that simple. Oh, there's plenty. There was like 10 seconds left.
There were 10. Yeah, right.
They that would have been inexcusable if they're running that play instead of kicking the field goal to tie it up.
True. Yeah, it was just so
a
that
lot of
whole
mistakes.
Sequence was ridiculous. And you know, the funny thing is, right when they scored, allegedly scored, and it wasn't a catch, I'm thinking there's 28 seconds left on the clock. Why is this taking so long? Get the ball to Brady. We need to go. We need to go. He got it. You know, he's gonna get down there.
Yeah, but they were gonna, if they kicked the extra point, we were gonna need a touchdown.
Oh yeah, I know we were gonna need a touchdown.
Yeah,
but in my mind, it was still doable. But
would have been a bit different if Gostkowski had made his extra point.
You're right. I know.
Then it was, the Pats were to be up 4, and then the Steelers wouldn't have had the opportunity to kick a field goal if they wanted to. They would have had to push it into the end zone. So, yeah, there's a lot of different factors that combined to create the exact situation that was presented at the end of the game.
And such a bizarre one, yeah.
It seemed like the Steelers bungled it a couple times, and the mm-hmm. Patriots took advantage, I guess. It wasn't really like they won it, but they were prepared to win.
They were prepared. They were more prepared.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people are saying too. They're like, the Patriots, they always do this. They, in these types of situations, they wait for you to make the mistake.
Yeah.
And
they're
that's
more
what
prepared.
Happened. So, and you're right. I mean, you said earlier that you thought they were the better team tonight. They were the better team. I mean, you think
throughout the game,
everything was going wrong for us. You know, Gostkowski missed the extra point. Brady threw just a bad interception. He wasn't connecting on the deep passes.
They were converting third downs. We were not.
It's just like everything. And then we like won. But Brady had the ball and it seemed like he was having the ball in his hands last. It's like, oh my God, we're going to win. We're going to actually win. And then Brand goes down. I've never seen on two sidelines the demeanor go from so excited to so dour for both teams in a matter of 2 minutes.
Yeah. It went happy, sad, happy for the Pats and sad, happy, sad.
Right, like, like absolute pinnacles of both of those words too.
Yeah, that's my basic takeaway from this game is that the Patriots have serious issues. They got real issues offensively. I think I don't take that much away from this game defensively because I think the Steelers are probably the best offense in the NFL, and to hold them to 24 points, even though it wasn't pretty at times, And even if we held them to 30 points, I wouldn't have felt that bad about it.
It's a good point, yeah.
I really wouldn't have. It's as good as they get. Now, the fact that Antonio Brown missed most of the game and they still had their way with us, I suppose that is a little more concerning.
But semi-concerning.
Yeah, my takeaway from this game is that for the second week in a row, we can't beat man coverage. The only person who has proven to be able to do that over the last several weeks has been Gronkowski, and that's why trying to come back in the Miami game without Gronk, we had nothing to lean on. And in this game, luckily, Gronkowski was active for this game, and we were able to use him to get all the way back in this game and ultimately win it. But there's no reason that Danny Amendola and James White, Deion Lewis, these people should be winning man coverage. And I would have told you before the season, I think Brandon Cook should be able to beat man coverage. But after watching him for a year, I don't see it yet.
I know. Well, it's almost like he can beat man coverage, but it's a matter of when and if Brady can hit him at the distance he's beating man coverage.
Well, because he doesn't create maximum separation. He creates separation, but it happens 50 yards downfield.
That's
a harder completion, whereas Danny Amendola regularly creates separation 5 yards down the field.
Brady wasn't even looking at him too much. And, you know, James White's the biggest one for me. I mean, he's almost disappeared from this offense in the last 8 weeks. And for a while there, we were talking about it like, oh, it's because we don't need to rely on him. We have these other pieces that are getting the job done. And now it's like, okay, for the last 2 weeks, where the fuck has he been?
Yeah, we needed him. And he had nothing this week.
And I don't know if I necessarily blame him. It's like, why aren't the coaches trying to get him involved in this game plan? Why aren't they trying to get him to create separation? Putting him in situations where he can create separation.
Yeah, I don't really remember him split out wide in this game, which has been classic James White. Split him out wide, run a slant pass.
And get 5 or 7 yards.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things he does.
Just like a swing route from out of the backfield. It's, you know, and the other big thing about the offense, too, is I'm more and more worried that they are somebody. Miami has exposed a weakness in Joe Tooney being pass protecting. Because it seems like for 2 weeks now, people have been going after him, and that has kind of been unsettling the whole offensive line. And part of that could be screwing with James White, because now on passing downs, instead of him just getting a free release, now he's got to give somebody a chip or something like that, which gives these other guys time to kind of cover him when they need to.
Yep, definitely a valid point. I don't know if Tooney's banged up or what the change possibly is. But he's been getting overpowered really consistently between Ndamukong Suh and Cam Hayward. And those are two of the best powered D tackles in the league. Ndamukong Suh being very close to number one.
Most of these teams are going to have a player like that.
Yeah, and you just hope that he's not going to be lining up across in the left guard.
Right. Exactly. You know, Cooks is still I didn't think they ran the ball enough either. I know we were playing from behind. Deion continues to play good, and it's almost like Josh McDaniels gets unsettled when we're even down a little bit and just abandons the run.
Yeah, that has been a big problem, I think. Deion Lewis has been producing regardless. It's not like you see his average, he's 13 carries, 67 yards, over 5 per carry again. Seems like every week he's over 5 per carry. And it doesn't seem like he's getting negative 1 yard, and then he's getting 12 yards, and then it's negative 1 and 1 yard. No, it's like 3 to 7, 5, 9. It's like he's all over the place, but he's getting positive yards consistently.
Right.
And they're not relying on him.
Yeah, the longest of this game was 12 yards. I mean, yeah, there are plays that he'll get stopped behind the line. You know, it's going to happen.
But it's not like it's every other even.
It's not a consistent thing. I mean, they come out and they throw the ball 3 straight times and go 3 and out. And it's like, you know, this guy is pretty fucking good out there. Why aren't you even giving him a fucking chance? 13 carries, you know?
Do you think that part of that might be the fact that we were begging the Steelers to run the ball against us, and that was chewing up so much clock that we're like, well, we can't now run the ball as well and chew up even more clock. This is going to be an hour and a half game.
I don't know.
Imagine if they were they definitely would think about something like that. I don't know if it would change their decision.
Maybe. I guess it's possible, but I'd be surprised if they were going. I'd be pissed if that's what they were going off of. You know,
Get your yards however you can. Put points up.
Rex Burkhead got injured, concussion, right?
So no, it was a knee.
Knee. It was a knee. So
yeah, sprained knee.
Sprained knee. Nothing too crazy, but he'll probably be out the next couple games. I mean, you look at these stats. It was 9-168 for Gronk. I mean, he had more than half of Brady's reception passing yards alone.
Yeah.
Cooks was 4-for-60, which, I mean, it's funny. Cooks just gets it all in like two catches.
The other one catch in this game.
You know,
we came through on that touchdown catch. That was not that easy.
That wasn't easy, and that's not his forte either. So
risky throw from Brady as well. Brady moving up in the pocket, a lot of traffic.
The more I think about Cooks, you know, and as great, as good as he's been, I mean, he's definitely been pretty damn good, but he's definitely not an all around number one.
No, he's really limited.
He is. I thought he could have been like that when we got him because I hadn't seen him play a whole lot. But at this point, it's almost, you know, he was a perfect complement to Julian Edelman, and we don't have Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, because, I mean, you look how Edelman played and what our biggest weakness is. It's like if Gronk isn't going over the middle, we have no chance of anybody getting a reception over the goddamn middle anymore. And that was Edelman's forte. So now people can keep the safeties deeper and stuff like that, and that's, you know, puts Cooks in a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's been going on with Cooks a little bit. And they don't have Hogan, who was kind of, you know, they were leaning on in that Edelman role more and more and more until he got hurt. And then when that happened and now, you know, Hogan can't do that anymore and hasn't been there, it's exposed, you know, Cooks' game a lot more because he doesn't have that guy coming over the middle taking care of those, you know, catches that we need to keep the ball moving on a regular basis.
Yeah, and he's inconsistent even just catching hitches, even just catching like a stop route on the outside.
Yeah, it's like anything 5 or 10 yards, he's not. It's a toss up if he's going to catch.
It's a toss up, yeah, because he doesn't drop them all, but he doesn't catch them all either, and right. They seem like they should be easy catches. Yeah, he's a he does a few things really well, but he is not well rounded by any stretch, and that so. Getting back to the point we were making was the lack of man beaters on this offense.
Man beaters, there you go.
It's man beaters. They're not beating man coverage. And it's surprising to me that it's not working out that way. Gronkowski's the only guy who's doing it. And now we have two games of film for all our opponents to look at that say, hey, Gronkowski's the only guy that can beat this coverage. And you have extra players to double cover Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. So that seems like that is the natural move that we're going to be seeing probably this week against Buffalo. Certainly going forward into the playoffs, we're at least going to see sprinkles of that. And right now there's no answers. And the only thing I could see changing is Chris Hogan coming back and helping.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really it.
Yeah, you can put a little bit of stock in a Kenny Britt doing something.
I suppose, yeah.
He did come in and make a catch. I mean,
yeah, and he was pissed afterwards too.
Well, was he?
Yeah, he got to the sideline. He's mean mugging and stuff. He's talking, oh, God damn it.
Okay, well.
I think he wanted to get the first down. I think that was it.
Yeah. So he is someone that might be able to soften the blow of that, too.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, like that. You know, when we had Hogan and he was healthy, everything was rolling. But he was getting killed out there, which is why they took him back out when he, you know, came back from the shoulder and can't play anymore. So if Britt can soften the blow, him, Dorsett seems to be kind of like a lost piece.
Yeah.
Dwayne Allen, we've known, is a lost piece. He gained some momentum, but really not much. But Belichick knows that. It's clear that they know that because they wouldn't have brought in Britt when they did if they, you know, thought everything was fluff.
Yeah, they saw that weakness. They tried to address it.
So they are working on it. Defensively, like you said, it seemed uglier. It looked uglier than it actually was. I mean, it was almost like for a while we couldn't stop anything. And then the more you're watching, you're like, well, they just did go 3 and out. Or, you know, they didn't score on that one. Oh, they didn't score on that one. Okay, we're getting off the field there. They did enough where we took the lead back.
Yeah.
So
yeah, when they're in half, they're up 7 in the second half,
which is, I mean, easily could have been
after 17 in the first. It's fine. I'll take 7 points a half. I would have taken 7 points a quarter against this team.
I would have probably too.
Yeah. Atlanta Roberts cannot play in coverage.
No.
And he was slow playing the run too. He was shooting gaps, which is the best part of his game, really. And I wouldn't say don't shoot gaps anymore because that's what you do the best. But make an adjustment when you're going against elite running back like Le'Veon Bell. And when you come up two steps behind on like three plays in a row, or, you know, three plays like that, make an adjustment and be like, you know what? I can't really play that way against this guy.
Right, because you're just missing him. I mean, there were times where he was clogging the exact hole that Le'Veon ran through, and he just missed him.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude.
He's a heck of a player.
You can't be doing that. Mm-hmm. That's your job. There was also no Alan Branch in this game, who was probably one of our best run stuffers at this point.
I thought Ricky Jean played fine.
He played all right, yeah.
Malcolm Brown played well.
Malcolm Brown probably had one of his better games of the year. David
Blair
Harris.
Guy, too.
Lawrence guy. Larry?
Yeah. I like calling him Larry.
That's true. Larry.
I give people nicknames when I like them.
He had a sack. Trey Flowers, it was like, thank God he is back.
Oh, yeah. Trey Flowers, I think he had like six quarterback hurries or something.
He was the only one getting pressure.
And he was doing it consistently all the time. And for some ungodly reason, on third downs, we were putting him in coverage against Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
It happened three times.
I hate when they do shit like that.
Like,
I
what
don't
are you doing?
Fucking get it. Eric Lee has definitely come back to earth in recent time. Dietrich Wise is, you know, a good situational rusher, too. Mm-hmm. Chung played a great game for most of it until that coverage breakdown on that last whatever touchdown, non-touchdown play.
The Jesse James play?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that was him in coverage, was it? I thought that was Jordan Richards.
He was covering him the whole game, so I just assumed it.
Oh, I think that was a zone coverage play.
That was Jesse. That was Jordan Richards?
I think it was zone coverage, and I think they were attacking Jordan Richards' spot in the zone.
He is just like
all right.
The
I'm
weak
not
link.
Not totally positive on that, but I'm pretty darn confident that Patrick Chung was not in man coverage against Jesse James on that play.
I thought Malcolm played a good game.
I did too. Right?
I thought he played
so too.
His best game of the year.
I thought Gilmore was up and down.
I don't know about
and Eric,
game of the year.
Eric Rowe was probably mostly down, but yeah. Butler was really good.
Butler was really – they really didn't go at him. They really – I mean, even when Antonio was on the field, he was doing pretty well against Antonio.
Yeah.
He made that play in the end zone.
He's got a knack. He's got a knack on Antonio Brown. And it won't show up in the stat sheet, but it definitely shows up on the film.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's it? Gilmore led the team in tackles. That's because every ball was caught on him, and he had to tackle him.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things to his credit, he really doesn't let the guys get too far away from him, you know. But there was that one bomb to Martavius Bryant down the sideline where it looked like Martavius like picked up the speed at a right as Martavius picked up the speed when he saw the ball was in the air, Gilmore like slowed down for a step and that killed
him. Oh yeah. Yeah, I think he was like pivoting his hips or he was turning his head. It was something in conjunction with that and Martavius just got his step and that was it.
Yeah. For the most part they let them play on both sides. They really didn't call much at all, and penalty-wise.
Yeah, I'm not really even remembering anything.
Well, there was a couple. You could tell Gronk was very frustrated, and finally
Patriots had two penalties for 4 yards.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What? How does that happen?
Do they show what's the what was the Steelers?
6 for 63.
Yeah, and one of them was on a pass. Most of that was on a pass interference. To Gronk.
Oh, that Gronkowski. Yeah, that's the other thing. Even we remember all the catches he had in the second half. That was a key third down that he drew a pass interference call on.
Well, it was like finally. I mean, they were like raping the guy for half
the
plays.
That one looked worse live than it did on replay.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
So. But it definitely should have been called.
Yeah, but there was a couple that could have been called, and I was like, how are they not calling this? How are they not calling this? And then they finally got the one to Gronk. I was like, okay, that's a redemption call. It should have been called anyways, but Jesus Christ, they got to call something here.
Yeah.
But yeah, they let these guys play. So, what else? You got anything else to say
he
about
almost
this
caught
one?
That. He could have gone 200 yards in this game. He really could have.
Easily.
Yeah, that was really all I had to say about it. That we'd miss Van Noy so bad. He was back at practice today.
Thank God. I mean, we're at the point where we're missing Van Noy.
Fashion. Yeah,
it Kyle sucks that we're at the point where we're missing Kyle Van Noy. It's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no one else going on there. But so this was obviously a huge game in terms of seeding. Now the Patriots own their own destiny. They have the number one seed. Home field advantage throughout the first week by all that great stuff.
Well, they got to win out to get those
things. They got to win. Well, they have all that as of now, but they have to win out. Yes, they control their destiny. If the Steelers lose again or the Jags lose or whatever it is, this is in a much better situation, but that's huge. And the Steelers, this could I feel like this could unravel the Steelers, this loss.
Well, you already got the quarterback and offense coordinator fighting in the press. I guess the coordinator hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
That I've seen, but Roethlisberger seems unhappy. They're missing Antonio Brown for the next couple weeks.
Yep. I think this, I mean, the way they lost that, just the miscommunications and stuff, I can't see them rallying. I can see this being putting a bullet in them and just being like them limping through the into the playoffs because of it.
But
mentally, physically.
Aren't they playing, who do they got the rest of the year? They got like the Texans and the Browns, right? And Browns.
Yeah. Maybe the Browns get a win. They put a lot of emotion in this game, man. Tough fucking pill to swallow, especially at home that happened.
Ryan Shazier there.
You're right. I mean, they thought they came in ready to win that game, and they lost it.
Yeah, this one would sting as much as anything.
Yeah, that's like losing the Super Bowl. So that happened. Huge game.
Bad news for them, yeah. Good news for the Pats.
What do you think?
Dude, you got to stop breathing into the mic.
Am I?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. How does that feel in your ears, everybody? Okay there? I didn't catch the Saturday night games this weekend, but I guess the Chargers went down to Kansas City. I saw the people are saying Kansas City's offense is as hot as anyone's right now. So maybe they could be coming back into the playoff picture a little bit more.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Be nice to see the Chargers not make it, unfortunately, but it'd be good for the Pats. Didn't really watch that many games. Aaron Rodgers wasn't able to pull it out in Carolina. And they shelved him because now they're removed from the playoffs. So no more Aaron Rodgers. Good thing he came all the way back for that. He threw like 3 picks. He didn't look quite the same.
No, I heard he was terrible.
Jimmy G with the big... I wonder if that was his first fourth quarter comeback victory. He had a game-winning drive in Tennessee.
Yeah, must have been. Good for him.
Did he have one against the Cardinals to start the year last year?
I can't remember.
I can't remember if we were winning that whole time or if he scored at the end to beat them. But yeah, things are really taking shape. I saw that if things go a certain way this weekend, the entire NFC playoff picture could be set this weekend.
Really? Well, the biggest surprise to me this weekend was the Rams kicking the crap out of the Seahawks.
I know, right? Right. Two weeks after the Seahawks beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the Rams torched them.
Todd Gurley just went off. We have 4 touchdowns? 3 touchdowns? 4 touchdowns?
I think 4 touchdowns, yeah. Boy's the player, he's a star.
It's crazy.
Pretty damn good. I guess you missed that Sunday night game, the Dallas at Oakland.
Yeah, I only saw the beginning of it.
Wacky officiating.
Not one of those.
At the end of the game, the Cowboys had to get to like their 40-yard line to get a first down. The marker was directly on the 40-yard line, and they went for it on 4th-and-1. QB sneaked to Dak Prescott. And on the replay, it looked like he probably got there, but there wasn't exactly clear evidence. And so then they spotted the ball short of the 40-yard line. And I'm like, oh, God, that's it. And they bring the chains out, I don't know, to make it official. And it was really close. It was really, really close. But, like, the chains were on the 40, and the ball was not on the 40. I didn't understand it, and they were just staring at it and looking at it.
And they brought out the little piece. They brought the piece of paper out or something.
Yeah, folded over index card, and he tries to slide it in between the two, even though they're next to each other. So you're automatically using it at an angle, most likely, unless you have the perfect eyesight. It's like there were so many things because you know, like the ball was not sitting on the chain that led to the down marker stick. So the ball was next to the chain, so it's already next to it. So it's at like a weird angle. It's like, how can you tell that you're being exactly straight with this? It was bizarre.
Del Rio was. I saw the replay of that. Del Rio was pissed. He goes, I don't know if I'm gonna get fined or not, but I've never seen anything like that in my goddamn life.
Yeah,
he was
and then
bullshit.
Dallas is able to convert that drive all the way down. They score, and then Oakland gets the ball back, and they got a chance, and. They just got nothing going on offense. And I think on like 3rd-and-long or 4th-and-long, he throws it deep to Crabtree, deep, like 70 yards deep. And get a pass interference call. Crabtree was really savvy against a rookie. And they get the ball inside the 10-yard line, down 3 points. And so you're like, oh, God, the officials are completely deciding this game. And then, like, the very next play, Derek Carr rolls out to the right and fumbles through the end zone. It was hilarious. Whoops.
Yeah, that is too good.
So good. Raiders.
Well, there you really go. There's that.
Down and out. Cowboys are in the thick of it right now.
Are they?
Yeah, Zeke's coming back. They're 8-6.
Oh, right, right.
They're in a pretty good spot.
Well, that's good.
How about next week? The Pats get to look forward to hosting the Bills in Foxborough. Try to improve that 4-2 home record. Fire away.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say real quick, we had the Pro Bowl was selected. We had four Pro Bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, obviously. Rob Gronkowski. Matthew Slater. And the new guy, new one to the Pro Bowl, James Devlin. Very nice for him. He's had a good damn season, so happy for that. I was a little bummed out that neither McCourty or Chung got a nod. I felt like that's a snub.
I didn't even think about them. Yeah, they both played terrific this season.
I mean, at least McCourty, give it to McCourty just because he's had a great year. I mean, you could say Chung started off slow, so that's understandable, and he kind of gets overlooked in these things anyways, but McCourty's had a really good year, and I mean, you're looking at these safeties, Eric Weddle, Rashad Jones, and Micah Hyde. It's like,
sure Rashad Jones belongs on there?
Yeah, it's like, or even Eric Weddle this year. I've seen him get cooked the few times I've watched fucking the Ravens. Like,
I think he's made right over some good plays. He's made some big interceptions.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I thought that was a little bummer. And then also some news today. What was it?
I was just going to say, at the beginning of the season, Devin McCourty looked like a definite Pro Bowler. And lately, Patrick Chung has looked like a definite Pro Bowler. So it's like, I guess they haven't exactly put together a full season.
Maybe. And then the other bit of news we heard was that Tom Brady's trainer and longtime buddy Guerrero, what the hell's his name?
Remember? I think Guerrero.
Guerrero is now banned from the sidelines and the Patriots playing home.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. They asked Belichick about it, and Belichick obviously said nothing. They asked Belichick if he's still meeting with Brady regularly, and he said nothing. So nobody knows what's going on there, but that's definitely an interesting, unusual story that you really don't hear much about in the NFL. So,
yeah, it seems like Guerrero has been treating more than just Brady, and maybe they're not comfortable with that. Could be getting mixed messages between what Guerrero's saying and what the team medical staff is saying, and they just want to assert control over that. And when you say he's banned from the sideline, he's banned from the team plane, it's really that he got his privileges revoked.
Right. I mean, it's not like, it's not like it gets those.
It's not like they have a sign.
Not everyone gets to go on the
same. Don't let this guy out here.
Yeah, it's not like anybody gets to really go on the fucking team plane. So that was a huge privilege he had.
Yeah, like,
and
Giselle's not allowed on the team plane.
Like, yeah.
You can't have that. So I was surprised that he even had that. And he has an office inside Gillette Stadium that
they're
letting him keep, too. So it's not like he's excommunicated.
I know. I thought that was pretty surprising.
Just trying to limit him to treating Brady. Mm-hmm. And everybody is free to see him off-site, like at the TB12 Sports Therapy Clinic.
Which is across the street.
It's right down the street.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it's not a death sentence by any stretch, but yeah, it is. It's curious.
Yeah, for sure. So, like you said, we got the Bills coming up. 8-6. We faced them a couple weeks ago. We won. It was a closer game than we anticipated. But here's a team with really no quarterback, but pretty good defense, but not really a good defense, very middle grade. I don't even know how they're still in this. They're terrible offense and mid-grade for defense. So
there's a lot of bad teams.
There's a lot of bad teams. But they're fighting for a playoff spot. They are currently the 6th seed, I believe. So this one's big. If you remember 2 years ago, I can only remember, I always think about 2015, we had a chance to go, get the number one seed, and we blew the last two games to divisional teams. I think it was the Miami Dolphins and the Jets. Now it's now here we're in the same situation. We just won a huge game against Pittsburgh that we probably shouldn't have won. I mean, I really don't want to say that, but we probably shouldn't have won that game.
I will. Definitely shouldn't have won that game.
And Now you're the Buffalo's coming to us though, right?
Yeah.
So
not
Buffalo's
that we've
coming
been much better at home.
No. So Buffalo's coming to us, and okay, so they're fighting for this playoff spot because they're 8-6, the Ravens are 8-6, the Chargers are 7-7. I mean, they need to win this. So it's a big
I
one.
I get it. Yeah, they need to win as many games as they possibly can.
And we also need to because we don't want to lose the seeding.
Yeah, exactly. I think that that is a huge thing, and we definitely learned that lesson in 2015. I think the Broncos' home field advantage is greater than the Steelers' is for whatever reason. Could be the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
We blew it then, and that cost us the game.
It probably cost us the game.
It did cost us the game. 2 points between traveling and home, I'll take that any day.
Yeah, so did a missed extra point and a wide open Gronkowski on a 2-point conversion that you don't throw to for some unknown reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were a lot of things that happened in that game. But yeah, the Bills are going to come in firing, and it's been much, much talked about this week after the way that the last matchup between these two teams ended when Gronkowski dropped the elbow or whatever he did on Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
There's extra anger, there's extra animosity in the matchup, even more so than somebody that you see twice a year and has been kicking your teeth in for a decade plus.
Yeah. And some people are saying that they should sit Gronk, and I'd say that, but if we sit Gronk, we can't win as things appear to be. I mean, that might not be the case, but as everything is laid out on the table for us here, it seems to me if we don't have Gronk, we're not going to be able to score 20 points.
I know. It does feel that way, right? Or at least 25.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, if I was coaching this team, I would, in all honesty, limit how much I run him up the seam.
I would, too.
At least until you need to.
And blocking, too.
Blocking's fine. He can hold his own. Yeah. He can block.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the seam, and you know, he's got his head turned, and maybe he gets a cheap shot, whether it's high or low. That's what I would be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have to be necessarily a cheap shot, but maybe something right on the edge. The Bills seem to be saying all the right things. Tre'Davious White was very outspoken after that game, but this week he's saying, you know, whatever that beef is, it's got to be put on the back burner because the team needs a win.
Right.
Which is great, which is one of the reasons that I really like that kid coming out of LSU.
He said, yeah, so he was really pissed off, you're right, and he said something, you know, he's a dirty player. He called Gronk a dirty player, all kinds of stuff. And then this week when they asked him about it, he goes, no, you know, now that I've had time to think about it, I know he's not that type of guy. He's never done it before. Like you
and
said.
And now that I'm not concussed anymore, thanks for sticking a camera in front of me and broadcasting it to 300 million people after you knew I got concussed.
Right.
Assholes.
That's a great point. And he, you know, he said, like you just said, you know, a win, beating them would be much better redemption than, you know, taking the guy out or something. He didn't say taking the guy out, but he said a win would be much better redemption. So take that as you want. But I wouldn't think they can focus on trying to hit Gronk. And if they do, it's going to be pretty obvious right out of the fucking gate, or within the first half at least.
I don't think we should rely on him, though.
No, I really don't. I think we have to find other ways.
Yeah, we need to find answers outside of him. We know how good he can be.
But yeah, for playoffs-wise, we need to figure this shit out.
Yeah, exactly. And this would be, we saw how well we were able to run the ball last time these two teams played.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they will heed that example and continue that trend. We'll be without Burkhead, but it gives Gillislee another shot. Hopefully he's been staying in shape and is fresh.
I'm sure
going up against this former team.
Yeah, this would be a good coming out party for him.
And
again,
we signed him on a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah.
So this is one of your last opportunities to make a bunch of money this offseason.
Absolutely.
You better take advantage.
Yeah. So is Tyrod still their quarterback, or is he
out? Yeah. Yeah, he's still their quarterback.
He's still? I thought he was hurt. So, yeah, we talked about this team a couple weeks ago. Not much has really changed. Offensively, like you just said, running LeSean McCoy, hell of a player running the ball. Tyrod Taylor is a very very good mobile quarterback. Passing the ball, though, they really don't have a whole lot going on. So this would be something nice for our pass defense to work on. Taylor is, I mean, he's not playing bad by any means. You know, 62% completion percentage, 13 TDs, 4 interceptions. He's only got 2,300 yards. So they're not really throwing the ball. Brady's got almost double that.
Yeah, so, he's not a huge playmaker. He's also missed some time, but he takes care of the ball. He makes plays with his feet. He extends plays. But he misses throws, but he misses in a safe way.
Right. It's not, yeah.
He's not normally the type of player that will take over a game, but he also doesn't lose it. He's got a fair amount of Alex Smith in him. He really does.
It's a good play to put it. It really is.
They both move around. They both don't make mistakes. I think Tyrod goes deep more than Alex does, but I think Alex is much better in the underneath game. Look, their offense is about Shady. That's really what it is. Mm. And he tore us up a little bit last time. I think he had over 100 yards. He played well.
They only had 93, but he had 6.2 per carry, and then Tyrod had 3 for 32 at 10.7. I'm sorry. Earlier I said that this was closer than we expected. We only let up 3 points, so this was not close at all.
No, that included an interception at the goal line. But, yeah, they didn't have anything offensively. That was right in the meat of our domination.
Mm-hmm.
We went like a month where our team was playing out of control.
No one could touch us.
Yeah, and this is right in the heart of that. Look, we need to have answers on offense. We need to continue to play well defensively in the same way we did last time. I don't see it as that big a deal. I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to pull some stuff the way the Dolphins were against us.
Yeah.
And convert a bunch of third downs unexpectedly. If we're not able to get pressure, we got Trey Flowers coming back for this game. He wasn't there against the Dolphins. I mean, Kyle Van Noy could be back for this game. That could be a boost.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of playmakers on the outside. You know, I just think that we might be in a better position to play very good defense than we were in the last two games.
Absolutely. I mean, going from the Steelers offense to this is like ridiculous difference.
Oh, yeah. It's massively different.
I mean, you're going from possible number one or top three to bottom 20, you know.
Bottom 10 or 12.
Nah, they're ranked 23 technically, but.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bottom 10.
Well, that's okay. I said, you know, less, whatever. Yes.
Bottom 20 is actually pretty good. Bottom 20 is
right.
Some playoff teams.
I did say it wrong. I said it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's, you know, we can go over matchups here. I think, you know.
We've already gone over these matchups. It's not any different. We're going to have more really Gillislee different. this time. I think Kelvin Benjamin, did he miss that game last time we played them? I want to say he missed that game. He's questionable in this one, but he did play last week.
I'm not really too worried about Kelvin Benjamin, to be honest.
He's
throw Gil. What,
can you name one other receiver on their team?
Well, they have Jordan Matthews. I do know who he is.
He's on IR. He's out.
Is he?
Yep.
Andre Holmes. I know who he is. I don't.
Is he on this team?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. I was thinking Zay Jones, that dude who did like the moonwalk back to his feet.
I see him.
Did you see that clip?
Yes, no.
Oh,
good stuff.
A freaky clip.
Huh.
Well, it was. It looked like a glitch. Like he was down on his stomach in like a push-up position, and then he just worked his way back to his feet. It looked like it was in rewind. And like, there's a player next to him running forward. So you're like, what am I seeing here?
Really? That's kind of cool. But I'd love to see James White get a little more involved in the offense.
I think that should be a priority.
Beat some man.
Gillislee going is also going to be a priority.
And then if Hogan can't go, which I wouldn't think he's going to go, right?
I don't think we'll see him till playoffs.
Yeah. So if he's not going to go, let's get either, you know,
ooh, Britt, Kenny Britt. Kenny
there.
Britt.
Yeah. Let's go get some more passes to Britt. And what's his name that we got from the Philip Dorsett? Let's see if we can get him just going a little bit.
Brady refuses to look at him.
He really does.
He won't even look at him. And it's not, I've seen clips where he is pretty open and Brady's just not even considering taking a glance at him.
Really?
It's like he's dead to Brady. It's some weird shit. Even though Philip Dorsett has by all accounts said everything right and done everything right. I think Belichick even said that he's been working hard, but
Brady doesn't have that trust.
Brady will not throw him the ball.
Well, maybe they can change that and get it going. Because they did look at him first play last game, and I was like, whoa, first play to Philip Dorsett? All right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a changeup. But,
yeah, when he was on the field last week, I was like, just take him out. He's not doing anything. He's not blocking.
And when he started with us, he seemed like everything was going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, his first couple weeks, he seemed fine.
So
when I was watching that game, you got like their third or fourth cornerback against him. He's a first-round pick with 4-3 speed. And you're playing man-to-man press coverage against him, and he's off the ball, so he's able to get a free release. You know, if you're on the ball, then the guy's hands mm-hmm. are right in front of you, but if you're a yard off the ball, you got space. And that helps for a little guy. And I'm just looking at him like, how are you not getting open against the third or fourth cornerback on a team with shitty cornerbacks?
Yeah.
When you're playing with the greatest quarterback ever and he's not even thinking about you. It's like, so I don't have that many nice things to say about Philip Dorsett yet, but that could all change in one game. So yeah, I would think James White, Gillis Lee, Kenny Britt, Dorsett. Yes, we are that spoiled that we're planning on getting reserve players involved in this game.
Yeah, right.
To try to tune them up for bigger games.
So what do you think the score is going to be?
I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. I'm thinking 27-13.
Wow, that's higher than I expect.
Might go 24-13, yeah.
I was going to go like 24-7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real quick before we end, we can just talk about the playoffs here and what this looks like. AFC, you got the Patriots, obviously. You know, we got the Steelers. Those are the two teams with the first round bye.
Potentially.
Potentially, as of right now. As everything lies on the table now.
Jaguars are nipping at their heels. The Jaguars, it should be stated, have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Steelers.
Oh, wow.
So if they wind up with the same record, but that would require the Steelers to lose to either the Texans or the Browns or both.
Mm-hmm. So the Jags are number three right now, 10-4. So that's close. You've got the Chiefs at the fourth seed that they're hanging on to for their lives at this moment, but they just beat the Chiefs or Chargers, so that makes it a little easier. Somehow the Titans are there at the fifth seed, which is stunning that they have that record and they're sitting there still, because they just got beat by the Niners that have had nobody this whole season. Jimmy G comes in and beats them. I mean, that's pretty hilarious.
The Titans also recently lost to Blaine Gabbert-led Cardinals, too.
Right, exactly. So that's pretty stunning. And then you got the Bills, 8-6, holding on to that sixth seed. And as I said earlier, you got the Ravens, Chargers peeking in. Raiders and Dolphins are also still technically in it, but probably no chance for either of them. A lot of things have to happen for them to get there.
Yeah, it's probably between the Titans, Bills, and Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the Bills make the playoffs. And Ravens. I really do.
And Ravens.
Oh, and the Ravens. Shoot, yeah, you're right.
I hope the Ravens don't get in. I mean, the Titans to the Ravens. What a jump that would be, huh?
Yeah, totally different thing.
And they're all 8-6, too, which is hilarious. Good thing the Ravens, look at them. They can go suck it. Then you got on the NFC the Eagles, who still have been winning without good old Carson Wentz.
Well, they won one game without him.
One and a half.
Yeah, one and a half.
I didn't think they'd win any without him.
They played the Giants.
They did play the Giants. All right, fine. Yeah. But they're 12-2. They got the number one seed. They still have a win to give to still get the bye, for sure, which is pretty cool. They're in a pretty good spot. Vikings got the second seed right now, which they're doing pretty good at 11-3. The Rams and Saints are knocking on the door at third and fourth seed. And you got the Panthers at the fifth and the Falcons at the sixth. Panthers just got screwed, huh?
Wow. NFC South is really crowded.
Pretty much.
God dang. 10-4, 9-5, 10-4.
Best division of football right now.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You got then the Lions, Seahawks, and boys all looking in at an 8-6 record. So there could be a little change up here, but yeah, I think you said it. If the Falcons win and the Panthers win, that might solidify these teams being there.
Yeah, I feel like the Cowboys could make some noise if they were able to get in. They would have to win out, and they'd have to get just a little bit of help from the Falcons and or Panthers.
Extremely possible.
Definitely possible. I don't know. NFL likes to finish up the season with division games. So, yeah, we got Tampa Bay playing Carolina and Atlanta at New Orleans this weekend.
Ooh.
So, Atlanta at New Orleans.
That's a huge game.
Yeah, exactly. If New Orleans is able to take that, then Atlanta's sitting there at 9-6, and they could be, you know, right there in the mix with the Cowboys and maybe even the Seahawks.
But there's going to be a lot of switching there, because also if the Saints lose, they give up that seed.
They give up currently their five seed, and they move to the six.
The Saints are fifth. No, fourth.
Oh, yeah. Well, then the Panthers just take that.
Right. But then they'd probably play each other anyways. So,
yeah, well, it's all about home field at that point.
Right, exactly. Rams play the Titans, which is big for both of them, fighting for spots. Seahawks play the boys, so that's a tough road for the boys to get through.
Are they going to? to
looks like
Seattle?
It's in Dallas.
Oh, it's in Dallas. Okay, good for them.
Dolphins are playing the Chiefs. That's big for both of them. And that's kind of it for real playoff matchups.
How about that? Christmas Eve, huh?
Right.
We're going to have a couple great weeks of football here. We got Christmas Eve, there's NFL. Christmas Day, there's two NFL games on Monday. And then the following weekend, you have NFL football wrapping up the season on New Year's Eve. And then you got all the college football the day before and the day after.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be excellent.
Well, here we go.
Can't believe you're not even into college football, man. You're missing out.
Well, too bad. We're in the home stretch of the NFL season, ladies and gentlemen.
Home stretch here. Week 16 coming up. Let's see if the Pats can keep things rolling, keep their spot at number one seed solidified, and let's be anti-Steelers fans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Indeed. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week to recap the Pats and Bills and look ahead to Week 17. See you.
Adios.